Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am so glad you're here today. And just like Terry just said on that announcement, we are taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000. And by we, I'm talking about JJ West and myself, and eventually Dr. Jill Hubbard will join us. But JJ, I know that you were on with us last week, and you're new to this co-hosting gig, but I love that you're here. And one of the things that I love is not only are you a therapist, solid in your practice, but you're our presenter at Every Man's Battle and will be at our Intimacy in Marriage workshop. So, you know, JJ, there's a struggle that men are dealing with that you're helping them with every single week. And what do we do when the trust gets broken? When they're dealing with either pornography or sexual addiction, what are some of the first steps that need to be taken so that healing can maybe take place?
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, Becky, it's great to be back with you. I'm so glad that you guys let me back on and didn't kick me off forever. So glad to be with you today. And yes, it is my pleasure to work with men, work with couples who are dealing with the aftermath of a breach in trust, whether that is from use of pornography, fantasy masturbation, or whether there's been affairs or the use of strip clubs or prostitutes or massage parlors or whatever. It's an amazing role that I get to have to serve these couples, these families, these men who are hurting. I would say there's several key steps in rebuilding trust. Number one is just to be able to understand that it is a long, slow process. It's not something that happens quickly. We use the illustration at the workshop of building statues out of Legos. If you're going to build a statue out of Legos, you have to have a plan. You have to persevere. You have to be intentional. You have to have some fortitude that if things go the wrong direction, that you don't just throw up your hands and give up. But some of the first steps are going to be that you are setting up accountability for your time, your money, your investment of energy. And so that might mean that you're doing things like a time log. This is what I was doing when I was not home with you. I was from 9 to 10, I was in a meeting with Carl. From 10 to 12, I was working on the reports that are due later this week, right? Something along those lines where you're doing time logs. The second thing is to be accountable with money. Not everybody used money secretly to aid in their acting out, but some did. And especially for those who did, it's important that they are accountable with money. And so it might mean things like having a no cash system where everything is on a debit card and it can be tracked. But then the third thing that's really important is engaging in active truth-telling. Mm-hmm. That you're not just sitting back and saying, okay, if you have questions, come to me, and I'll try and answer them. But that you're going to your spouse and saying, hey, here's my emails, or here's my text messages, here's my calls. Let's go through them together, and if you have any questions, I'm here to answer that.
That's such a great 1-2-3 start, but it's going to mm-hmm. take practice. Like you said, it is a long direction that they haven't taken before. And so it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel different. But it's going to be the best step forward for a life of freedom and for real connection with their spouse. I just appreciate you kind of laying that out. And, you know, as we go on throughout the day, we're here for you. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Maybe you're a man that's struggling with this and you want to talk to JJ personally, give us a call. We're going to be right back, and Dr. Jill Hubbard's going to join us as well. We'll see you in a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, Dr. Jill is in the house, and we were talking about the terrible Southern California
weather.
Okay,
we're just not used to this, you guys. And I can't see that well anyway, right? So it was like a whiteout, and the wind's blowing my car.
And those of us in the Midwest who are very familiar with whiteouts that are of snow, we have compassion for you, but not really, because
come
it's just
on,
rain.
Becky. You know it's always sunny here. And
is it? Anyway, it's always sunny where JJ is.
That's true.
Although they have hurricanes. That's enough for the weather report, right?
Okay,
we're going to go to the calls. We're taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000. And right now we're going to talk with Cher, who's calling us from Vancouver, British Columbia, and listens on the app. And you can download the app wherever you get your apps for your phone. And we'd love for you to join us there. How can we help you today, Cher?
Hi there. I am about 5 years in on discovering my husband's porn addiction. And I'm wondering, he's gone to every man's battle. And he did really well for a long time and just had a couple, I call them slips, because he didn't go back to the old way, thankfully. But there are things that anyway, I had discovered on his phone, just starting to watch things that were slightly compromising. So anyway, I'm just wondering, how can I manage without losing myself in this recovery process? Spring is here. All of a sudden, girls, I don't know where their moral standards are, but they dress and act even seductive to try to get attention from men. And in our home life, in our work life, we live kind of sheltered, G-rated. But I keep getting triggered. My husband's, I think, doing well. The only thing he doesn't have is accountability. So I don't know what's acceptable. Of course, you're going to notice people. I don't think he notices women that aren't attractive as much as he does the ones that are. So I'm just feeling challenged, I guess, in how to keep going and not keep feeling like it's hopeless.
All right. Well, I don't know, Cher, if you heard the opening, but accountability was one of the things that JJ talked about that needs to be in place. And so that's going to be an important key. Let's start with you, JJ, and see how you would direct her in this process, and then we'll go to Jill.
Sure. Thanks. Well, Cher, thank you for calling. My first question is, you've mentioned that your husband does not currently have accountability. He's been doing a lot of the other things correctly, but he isn't currently using accountability or isn't part of accountability. Why is that?
Well, we just moved, so we're trying to find a home church. That's one thing. We did have an old pastor that he does connect with. I forgot that but he doesn't connect with him regularly, like, let's say, every 2 weeks or something. So I feel like it's me saying, hey, have you talked to so-and-so lately? Have you, you know, so I think some of it, he would probably say, is probably a little bit of laziness, and some of it is probably intimidation or his own fears.
Okay, intimidation or his own fears of pursuing new relationships, new accountability relationships, or actively pursuing that old accountability relationship with the pastor?
I think just new ones.
Okay.
The old
one,
he's okay. Yeah.
Okay. But you mentioned that you have to kind of ask him to share with you how he's doing, as opposed to him coming to you and telling you, hey, I had a check-in with Pastor so-and-so, and here's how I'm doing, or here are the things that I'm working on. Correct?
Right. He feels like he's been delivered. He feels like he doesn't have an issue. But when we're out, if there's a, you know, a woman who is
whatever, however you want to describe it. I call them poochie. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay. If they're there in the line, he does try to bounce his eyes, and I do know he tries, but I think it's like you come from winter and now you're spring and everybody's different, and I don't know.
Right.
If it's just...
And you bounce your eyes from that side, and you bounce over to here, and there's two more over here, and you're bouncing all over the place. There's no safe place for him to look, is what he's saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And then I feel like, well, he's, and I don't know if I'm feeling sensitive because it's fairly recent, the last little discovery, maybe 6 months, and I'm just feeling weary and thinking, do you have to even look? Can't you just, I don't care. I don't look at men. I don't even glance at them. How come he can't? But I don't know if that's realistic.
So, yeah, so part of that is the fact that we are designed very differently. So you're right. Mm-hmm. Most women, it's not part of their core struggle is to be visually distracted, visually stimulated. And so most women are not checking guys out everywhere they go. That's not a distraction for them. But most men are wired that way, that they're visually stimulated. And so that's part of our good design. That's not a flaw. That's not something God, messed up on. It's part of our good design. But certainly the world and the enemy and our own flesh have twisted that good design into something that God didn't intend, where instead of appreciating beauty, we want to possess the beauty. We want to objectify women rather than appreciate and value them. Mm-hmm. So you're right that you're never going to see that the same as your husband. You're not going to experience it the same as your husband because you are wired differently. But I want to go back and ask a question. You said that he believes he's been delivered, and yet mm-hmm. you said there's been several times over these 5 years where there's been slips, the most recent one being maybe 6 months ago. Help me understand, why does he believe he's delivered if he's still struggling?
I think his mind thinks it's going back to the pornography and the whole what physically happens to men during that and that deep, dark place. So mm-hmm. he feels like, at the time, he felt like just watching a YouTube, something funny was okay. But the accountability gentleman that I redirected him or mentioned to him to talk to said, if it doesn't glorify God, it's no good. And so he deleted it off his phone. He steered him to that book, which I just want to give thanks for, Every Man's Marriage Book. It was a huge transformer. I mean, unbelievable. My husband is getting them for other men. It's so good. And so I know he's trying. I just think there's this area where he doesn't recognize his own weakness.
Go ahead. Maybe. Cher, let's hear from Jill, and we'll go back.
So, Cher, I think it makes so much sense that you would have increased anxiety. First of all, when someone comes out of EMB, Every Man's Battle, it takes the spouses a long time to catch up, right? Because you've been the one that's been aware of this, and it's so hurtful. And you found out later than the knowledge of when he was actually doing it, right? And so, so there's this catch-up time, and then your trust has been broken. So as he's going along, right, he's building trust with you by doing all the things above and beyond, right, to make you feel secure. So he has a slip, and your anxiety goes up. Oh, we're not as solid as I thought, right? And so you start maybe unknowingly being a little more hyper-vigilant. And and here's the thing, JJ, when you were talking about the differences between how men and women view things, that's true. But we women actually watch other women more than we look at other men, right? And we women are territorial. So when there has been a threat, we're constantly scanning to make sure another threat does not enter our territory. And so I hear this all the time, how hard it is for women to go to we live near the beach, to go to the beach, to go places where these young girls or women are scantily dressed. So that is problematic. Yes, the bouncing of the eyes is something he has to really do, but he's got to realize that this is going to trigger you and make you feel insecure. So it's not about him defending that he feels like he's been delivered or he's doing okay, he should be in a continual growth process, right? And not just content to plateau somewhere. And so I think it's important for you to ask him for what you need. And one of those things might be that you need him to initiate continual growth and to share that with you, that you don't want to be the hypervigilant spouse. And when he doesn't do that, it increases your anxiety. So,
And Jill, along that same lines, I'm wondering if you have done any healing work of your own.
True.
You know, this is something that we talk about at Restore, but also as a couple, because it's here you are struggling, and I'm sure that you've had the conversations with him, but it can be so hard for couples to move forward. And I know, JJ, you work with couples, and Jill, you do too. But that is the third element of the process. You know,
right.
It's not just his recovery, it's your recovery. And as a couple, it's your recovery. So have you worked with somebody or even as a couple?
Yes. I went to the Restore, and that was wonderful. It helped me even to stay in the marriage. And then we did do intensive counseling for a long time, and that was really good. And now we're kind of, I'm going to say, off on our own, if you want to call it that. And so definitely I've tried to, but I haven't to recent.
Well, especially since you are new to an area, Cher, it might be a good idea to just go kind of back into therapy for a tune-up, just to reconnect to some of the concepts. It doesn't take as long this time, right? Mm-hmm. But just to reconnect and to also look at the forward growth, right? We're not just looking back at problems. We're looking at forward growth in the marriage and making it better than ever.
Well, and JJ, can you speak to what her expectations can be for a man who is further down the journey of recovery?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And I have to say, Jill was stealing my notes earlier because... I wrote down exactly what she was saying, that one of the things she can expect, Cher, you can expect from your husband, is that he would take the initiative. And it's not just him taking the initiative on his own recovery, but that he's taking the initiative on your recovery as a couple. And so he's coming to you and asking, hey, how are you doing? How have you been triggered? What are some things that I can do to reassure you that I am not being drawn away? That these threats that you perceive around you that are going to happen, you're going to see all these women around you that are immodestly dressed. How can I help reassure you that my heart is for you? And what are some things that we can do? It may be that we do couples counseling together. It may be that we work through some material together. But what are some things that we can do for him to take that initiative instead of waiting for you to be constantly kind of raising your hand or waving the flag and saying, hey, there's a problem here. Letting him, you can expect for him to take the initiative. And if he's not doing that, it would be good for you to let him know, hey, I need to know that you are taking the lead here and not letting it all be on my shoulders.
Yeah, that is beautiful, Cher, because here's the thing. Recovery is a lifetime journey. It is not just because the behavior is over, but we talk about life recovery here at New Life, where we're just constantly assessing, not because we're bad, but because there's new life on the other side of working that recovery process. And this place that you're in right now, just like what JJ was saying, you got to have he needs to come to you and, you know, get that started in the right direction. Jill?
I agree with that. I don't know that I have anything more to add.
Okay.
Other
I
than
you were
just
going to say
something. Nope. Just I hope that you will follow through on all of this, Cher.
Yes. We read the Every Man's Marriage. He read the Every Man's Marriage, and then I kind of followed behind, and then we were going to do it together. But that's probably the main issue is I'm having to say, "Hey, babe, let's do it together. I would like to share how I feel." And those are some of the issues that he's kind of like. He did so great. He learned so much from that book. He said it just transformed everything in his thought process. And he's done away with quite a few things in his life just to say, "No, these aren't helping our marriage." But I think it's just that him recognizing that it's a lifetime journey, and I guess I was hoping it wasn't going to be.
Yes, exactly, Cher. Well, you know what? We're going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust, because I think that that will also help the two of you and this same journey. It's a book that we recommend both the husband and wife read, because it is giving you a different picture of what life looks like beyond the addiction, beyond the old behaviors, and moving forward into a healthy relationship. And we hope that that helps. I like what you were saying too, Jill, about the fact that, you know, when you move into a new place, everything kind of gets disheveled, both inside and outside. We'll be right back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And, you know, if you're a man that you are listening to us talk about this situation, you can join JJ at the March 31st Everyman's Battle, which will be in Washington, D.C. You can call us and we'll get you information about that. Now we are going to go back to the calls and we're going to talk to Melvin, who's calling us from Oakland, California, listens on KFAX. Thanks for calling, Melvin. How can we help you today?
Yes. How are you? I'm doing well.
Doing well.
My two questions is this. The topic is regarding a father-son relationship. I'm the son, and my two questions are, one, the first question is how I could have dealt with my certain situation growing up, and then now that my father has passed, I want to know how to deal with the situation going forward so I can have a more fruitful life and not be kind of traumatized by it. So my whole situation is this. I was adopted at a young age, and a foster parent took care of me till I was 7 years old. Then I was adopted by a single African-American Christian man, and he was gay. So we spent years going to church, and he was living this lifestyle the whole time from the moment he adopted me till he passed away. And so I want to know how to go forward with dealing with that, you know, being raised in a Christian household.
All right, so what's your question then?
Well, growing up, I'm going to church and I'm hearing, well, first of all, that's wrong because God made man and woman, and I knew that, and that's how you're supposed to have a kid. So why am I going to church and that's not being addressed?
Mm-hmm. So
and none of the sermon, you know what I mean?
Right. So Melvin,
message.
It sounds like your father was well-meaning and intended, and he knew what was right, and he tried to teach you that by taking you to church, right? Meanwhile, he's living a double life, right? Because he's acting out these things, and I don't know how overt he was, how out in the open he was, but kids still pick up on kind of the flavor of what is happening, even when it's happening behind closed doors, because kids are very clued into their parents. They watch their parents and they see more than we ever want them to see. And it actually is part of, I think, how God keeps us accountable as parents. But it sounds like your father was entangled in something that he was never able to free himself from. I don't know if he wanted to free himself, but this dichotomy of taking you to church, yeah, it seems hypocritical. But maybe it was, I've got to give this boy a chance to do something different than what I have been ensnared in.
Right, and there was just no conversation. And then we didn't have Bible studies. He didn't make sure that there were certain women, let's say there were single women at the church that were older, more mature, to make sure that they hung out with me more so I have more of a mother figure around because he was busy working a lot. So I felt like I was there to fend for myself and try to understand everything myself. And nobody at church ever talked about it. nobody ever at church suggested, you know, because everybody else had their own families and their own lives and what mm-hmm. they were dealing with. So I always just felt alone. And then yeah. when I got my teens, I, you know, there were certain girls at school I liked, but I was shy, and I would try to mention something to him, and he would say, don't worry about girls, focus on school. Well, I get that, and that's very wise to say to your child. But at the same time, we can't have a focused life on one thing. There's a balance to life. So mm-hmm. having, you know, a girlfriend or somebody that can be a future wife, having time to hang out with friends, having time to do charity work. Life is a compass of a lot of things, not just trying to focus on one thing. So by him saying that, and plus he didn't understand, I felt like, you're just mm-hmm. saying that because you don't care about, you don't look at women the same way most guys do. So that's why you're saying it.
Well, so, and Melvin, the hard part is that I don't know how long your father's been gone, but this is why we talk about those childhood wounds that mm-hmm. need addressing, and that's what you're feeling right now. So have you talked with a counselor or processed any of this with a professional?
No, I tried. I mean, he took me to a counselor when, you know, when I was in my teens, but it's kind of hard because he's sitting there and staring mm-hmm. at me the whole time.
Right,
So anyway, like I said, churches never bring that up. Nobody, and people knew because he actually started an AIDS ministry at the church. So people, I think there are mm-hmm. people that knew.
Yeah.
Right. So then,
Melvin.
But nobody
okay, said anything. I agree with you. It, you know, people hesitate to get involved, and that's a shame because the church should be a family. How old are you, and how long has your father been gone?
He died in 2009.
Okay.
So I'm 50. What am I now? 55.
55
I'll
years
be 56
old.
This year. Yeah,
okay.
I'll be 56.
Okay.
This year.
So we've got more input for you.
Yeah.
Well, Becky, when we come
you
back
can
from
hear
the break.
Them. Yeah, you can hear the music, Melvin. We're going to take a break. We're still taking calls. 1-800-229-3000. It can be tough, but this is something that, you know, is so important for us to get freedom to live our life presently and forward. And so trying to accept what was wrong or what was, you know, inconsistent is one of the challenges of our adulthood, but it can be so life-giving. And I think we'll talk more about that when we get back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000. Right now we are talking to Melvin, who's trying to heal some childhood wounds. Jill or JJ, I don't know where we left off, but whoever wants to go next can.
Well, Melvin, I hear you yes. really trying to sort this through. And at different times in a person's life, you know, we go along and then it's like all of this stuff, if we've not really thoroughly dealt with it, it comes up. Or sometimes it comes up again and we've got kind of new pockets of it to deal with. And I think you're in that season as you're questioning everything in terms of your upbringing. And I think there's you're aware of how people or systems, in a sense, had failed you. And I am hearing that at every turn, you have felt alone and abandoned. I mean, from being put in foster care. And really, during your formative years, till 7 years old, you were in that foster care program or with that family. And so they really instilled in you. They were really the ones that kind of helped lay a foundation for you. And then you get this dad that might be well-meaning, but just really ill-equipped to help you grow. And yet I hear you being really aware of right and wrong and how we should live our lives, and that the incongruence of how people live from what they say and what they do, yeah, that really affects us. And here's the thing. You didn't get to choose your childhood, right? It was chosen for you. And and sometimes it's like, why, God? Why was I, you know, bounced around? Why was I in this situation? And I don't know, Melvin, why you were. But the situations you were in, whether it was a good example and taught you all the right things or helped you contrast and know what not to do, God uses all of that to grow you and to grow your character.
Yes.
And I think that's important to remember. We learn from our parents' failures as well as their successes. And so many people believe the lie that if I only had kind of, in a sense, the ideal childhood, all of the right markings for success, then I would grow up and be the person and live to my full potential. And that's just not true, because we've seen so many examples to the contrary. And so whatever is dealt to you in life, once you reach adulthood, no matter how unfair it was, it's now your job to fix it and to sort through it and to not pass it on to future generations.
So I
think it's really important. You've got a lot of grieving to do over all this abandonment. And so I think it would be really good for you to get in with a male counselor that you could feel safe with and sort through all those little boy hurts and wounds and sort through kind of the good and the bad of it all.
JJ, what would you offer to Melvin?
Well, along those same lines of what Jill was just talking about, I think it's going to be really important that you have some good counseling and explore some resources that allow you to unpack the many layers of the relationship with your father. And it's hard to do that once someone has passed away. It's harder to do that once they've passed away, but not impossible. There are many different techniques that you can employ in counseling that allow you to work through some of the emotions that you still have with regard to your father, even though you can't confront him directly, you can't talk to him directly. I am in the same boat. My father passed away in 2001, and there were several things in his life that were incongruent with who he was in the world, how he presented himself in the world. And I would love to be able to go back in time and have some really helpful and healing conversations with him, but that's simply not possible. But what I have been able to do is, in therapy, write letters, have interaction with a proxy, you know, someone who's kind of standing in for him, and that has brought healing and understanding. Because ultimately, it was about how I was interpreting what was happening, less so about what he was or wasn't doing. So I would encourage you to explore that. I think, you know, if you grab a copy of Father and Son by Gordon Dalby, if you grab a copy of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, I think that would be helpful just to,
we'll send that to
help
you.
Walk you through that process.
Well, and what's Dave Stoop's book on fathers? Anyway.
Well, I'm thinking.
I'm forgetting.
We have a recording of Dave Stoop and his story about forgiving his father after
that
he died.
That would be good.
Yeah, Larry Sonnenberg has joined us, but Melvin, we will send you all. No, that's good. It's all the father things, because it is part of our journey of healing, and I hope that something. You know, I always, what you were just saying, both of you were just talking about how our childhood isn't chosen by us. But we are products of that. And I don't care if you have the very best parents on planet Earth, you may not be such a spectacular person. But then there are a lot of people who have really terrible parents, and they turn out to be amazing people. And so the work that we have to do as adults is to move forward in our lives. And in recovery, we talk about acceptance is the, what is it? Acceptance is the best thing for me to do today. I think that's what we talk about in recovery. But it's not agreeing with it. It's not approving of it. But it is just like, this is what happened. And how do I make it work in this day? But we're so glad you called, Melvin. And I know so many of us can relate to the challenges of understanding our childhood, for sure. I mentioned Larry Sonnenberg. Larry is in the room, and I'm glad you are. Larry, how can you speak to us today with your wisdom and your insight?
The Courageous Parent Workshop is coming up April the 1st. And I've got a testimony from a single mom. You know, we talk a lot about the couples that need this, but there are single parents that need this. And let me tell you what she said. She said, "I felt encouragement, healing, and hope after I attended this workshop. Steve, Jim, and Jill offered such helpful advice, and even though some of it didn't pertain to my exact situation, there were definitely times when I felt the Holy Spirit speaking through them as well as my in my small group. The main lesson I took from this workshop was to keep my eye on the main goal, which is to have a connection and relationship with my alienated child. He's now 18, says he wants nothing to do with me, but I will not give up on him. I'll continue to reach out, but this workshop helped me accept that my son is now an adult, even though his brain isn't finished maturing. But as he does mature, I'll continue to grow and work on myself, find happiness in my life, so that when he does come back to me, I'll be strong, stable, and a safe force in his life. I'll keep praying, like Steve said, turn every worry into a prayer."
Wow.
Pretty powerful stuff, folks. So it doesn't matter what your situation is, how old your kids are, whether they're 18 or 48, you're going to need this kind of a workshop to help you figure how to deal with things. And folks, we need your support to continue doing these workshops and more. I had somebody give me a list the other day of all the different workshops we need to be doing. It was one of our radio hosts. And I looked cross-eyed at him and said, "Oh my goodness, these are great ideas, but when are we going to do these? How are we going to do this?" Your money will help us do some of those. But thank you. We need your help. Thank you, everybody who is giving or is about to give. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. Well, and for a gift of any amount in the month of March, we will send you Dr. Dave Stoop's book, with Steve, Take Your Life Back. And it is such a great book. And if you add $50 more to that gift, we will send you the devotional that goes with that book. And I can tell you, it's kind of like what we're talking about even with Melvin is, you know, to take your life back is, you know, don't give another day to the past. Work through and get that healing. But Take Your Life Back is a great way to say thank you to our faithful givers, and we're just appreciative of being able to offer help and hope to this world. Thank you, Larry. You got anything else before you go?
Nope. Go back to those calls and get them done.
All right. Well, right now we are going to talk to Deborah, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, listens on KWRD. Hi, Deborah. I'm glad you called. How can we help you?
My question is, I am extremely disconnected from my husband, even to the point that I feel so alone in the marriage, I don't want to be in it any longer. But we're both Christians, and he is not abusive physically or verbally, but he's clueless when it comes to how to really handle a Christian marriage. So I sit on the outside of his life, kind of waiting on him, and it's just gotten too painful.
Well, Deborah, you can hear the music. We're going to go to a break, and we'll come back to answer your call. I just had a couple of questions. How long have you guys been married?
9 years.
9 years. Okay. All right. And has it been like this the whole time?
I would say about 8 years.
Okay. All right. And was there anything that triggered that? That will be another thing that we'll ask, if it's only been 8 of the 9 years.
I think it goes, and we're 60, this is our second marriage. I think it goes back to his family of origin.
Dr. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are still taking calls. We've got some lines open at 1-800-229-3000. But also, if you're on the line, please hang on because we are going to continue to record another show and we'll get to your calls. But right now, we are talking to Deborah, who has a disconnected marriage, or that's what her report is. And Deborah, you were saying at the break that you think it extends back to his childhood and kind of a setup for just this is how you do life together. Is that right?
I think so, and I'm open to it being either of our faults and either of us fixing it or both of us fixing it. But for the most part, once he shuts down and kind of gets a world view about you, you're pretty much done with him. But since we're married and he is, you know, a servant in our church and a godly man except for our marriage, I think he doesn't know what to do with me. To be honest, I feel tolerated, but that's about it.
Mm. Well, JJ, what would you offer to Deborah in this situation?
So I've got two questions first, Deborah. One, how do you experience his disconnection? And two, does he agree with you that your marriage is disconnected, or does he think everything is okay?
I experienced the disconnection because he's always doing something, studying or Facebook or whatever, and if I didn't speak, we wouldn't have a conversation. And then I've tried to approach the subject a few times over the years. About 3 months ago, I felt like it was my last approach, that I can't do it anymore because it leaves me feeling worse. But basically, I get all the blame for the disconnection, that it's he said the words 100% my fault.
Wow.
He said that the disconnection is 100% your fault.
But I'm the only one that goes into a conversation about, hey, you know, I want to be more connected and let's do some connecting things or let's talk or whatever. And I don't feel it's malicious on his part. I feel like it's a lack of either ability or understanding of how, to be honest, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I grew up in a dysfunctional home too, but I did see parents that at times loved each other, and I don't think he ever saw that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and JJ and Jill, doesn't that remind you of like the avoider attachment style, mm-hmm. that he may not even have the words for it?
Right.
That could
well,
be
part
of the problem.
Well, and this is a second marriage, so I wonder mm-hmm. if either of you had felt these feelings in your first marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember being alone in your first marriage, Deborah?
No, my husband and I did everything together. We had a lot of fun with our kids and everything. He had an affair, and I wasn't equipped to handle it, so I got a divorce. Knowing what I know now after the healing, I could have handled it, but at the time, I just couldn't. And I
so then you opted for someone perhaps that felt safer?
I felt that way. He had a little bit of an edge on my previous husband in that he was really focused on God and serving, and I do feel like he's an honest, you know, godly man. I just feel like somewhere he doesn't know how to connect to me, and my asking is just hurting me more.
Well, right. And I think, go ahead, Becky.
I was just going to say, I was going to ask JJ, since he's the male in the room, does that sound like a godly man that would blame his wife 100% for everything?
Well, that part, no, not so much, no.
I just want to affirm Deborah.
Does that mean that categorically he's ungodly? No, but certainly that's not a godly response to say, you know, to your wife who's saying, hey, I need this from you. Well, the reason you don't have that is your fault, so you need to shape up. No, that's not a godly, loving response. Yeah.
And the thing that, you know, he's so emotionless when he says something like that, but if I were to take his whole entire life as his wife and point, the only two things I could say about him is he's a procrastinator and he doesn't know how to respond to me. It's like he's overall well-liked, well-loved, and not malicious, tender-hearted, not a bad guy. It's just right. I'm on the outside of his bubble, and I don't know how to get in.
It could be the reason he doesn't know, or the reason he responds the way that he does, is that he doesn't know how to pursue you. And when you come to him with, hey, I need this from you, hey, you're not doing this for me, he interprets that as, oh, I'm failing. I'm not being the husband that I'm supposed to be, but I don't know what to do. And instead of being able to verbalize that, he goes on the attack. Well, it's your fault, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that, and if you would just... And so then it kind of shifts the blame away from him, and he doesn't have to feel the shame, the weight of the shame of not measuring up as the husband that he's supposed to be. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. And he does all these things at church that make him feel good. But I don't know how many really connected relationships does he have. Because it's one thing to relate to just being in a group and giving and doing things versus really talking and connecting. So we
only have a couple minutes left for Deborah, but Jill or JJ, what can they do as a couple? What would be a next step besides Deborah asking him to talk?
Right. I would say get How We Love and read through
it. We'll send it to you.
And if they work through that, in the meantime, they could also go to the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop as a way to say, okay, let's start to unpack some of the things that are getting in the way of us having a deep connection with one another.
Right. And I would not go to him and say, I want to feel more connected to you. That is like a foreign language to him. Mm-hmm. So ask him, can we go for a walk? Can we take a bike ride? Can we take a drive? Like, ask him if he's willing to do something that involves the two of you. So ask him specifically, because he might be able to take that in and do something that way versus feeling blamed and not, you know, a deer in the headlights, not knowing what you mean by connection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was JJ or Jill who said this, Deborah, but a lot of times that shame and that reaction, that's on him and his own work that he hasn't done yet. And so it's not you asking, it's just what he's feeling on the inside. But it's interesting to me that you both, at some point, you were in love enough to get married, only then to disconnect. And it's not only your story. We have so many couples that we help in this regard. That's why How We Love is so helpful. If you even go to their website and take the little quiz to find out how your attachment style works in your marriage, you might be surprised at what you learn. You know, we're forever grateful for Mylan and Kay's wisdom on that book. But I also think in this situation, you're going to find out a way to connect with each other that you've never even experienced before. But I so appreciate you calling. You know, we're going to continue to take calls. We've got some calls in the queue. Don't hang up, because we'll get to you in the next hour. But you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. You know, yesterday we did a brief talk about pleaser. Today we just talked about avoider. You know, it's amazing how we connect with each other.
Well, and Mylan and Kay's book, yes, it's about attachment styles, but it's about bonding within those attachment styles, right?
Yes.
Improving our bonding. And that's a first developmental step in relationship.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if you've raised children, you may not have done it perfectly. So just be aware that that might be part of it. But we're here to help you. Thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard and JJ West. We're so grateful for you guys and your wisdom. Thank you, listening audience. And if you're on hold, don't go anywhere, because we're going to be right back. We're grateful to be able to help you. And if you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'll see you next
time. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.